Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Hello and welcome to the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And of course, we welcome all the podcast listeners as well, whether that's at the 810 WHB podcast page, on online at 810WHB.com, on the app, or Spotify, Google, Ask Alexa, any of the places you get your podcast. We appreciate you listening to the show. And we are coming to you from no other pub in the Power and Light District today, where at the time that we're taping this, Carter Augustine and I just got done with what was an awesome World Cup watch party for the United States women's national team as they destroyed Thailand in historic fashion, 13-0 today. We will talk about that game coming up. We'll talk about the U.S. men's national team as they've got their two friendlies in the book, like it or not. They've got the Gold Cup starting up on the 18th, which is next week. And, of course, one of those group games will be here in Kansas City for the United States men's national team as well. So we'll talk about that. And, obviously, we'll also talk a lot about Sporting Kansas City. They've got a game tomorrow night in the U.S. Open Cup against Minnesota United. And then a weekend off before hopefully another U.S. Open Cup game. And then back on to the road trip that is MLS for Sporting Kansas City in the month of June. Roger Espinoza is going to join us on the show today, and he's going to join us here at No Other Pub, sit down and talk with us about Women's World Cup and Sporting Kansas City as well. So now that I've laid out the menu, let me introduce the man who always joins me on the show, as always, the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine. Carter, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, man? World Cup edition. Feeling great. What about you?
Well, first things first, it's a little embarrassing how similar our shirts are today. We both got the over-the-top patriotic bald eagle overlaying the American flag. A little bit different. I got some fireworks on mine.
Got the sleeves
cut
off.
And the sleeves came off on mine. You're not showing the guns today, so are you contemplating maybe getting rid of the sleeves for the next watch party, or how are you feeling here?
Short answer, no.
Okay, all right.
You know, you got to know what type of player you are, right? If you're not good at long passes, don't pass it long.
Okay.
Right?
Know your limitations is what you're saying?
You catch my drift, yeah.
I think, on the flip side, show the guns off. I don't know about that. Farmer's tan to show off, maybe. But dad bod in the
sure,
house.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, maybe as a player, you know, you should constantly look to expand your game.
That's a good
point. And don't limit yourself. Don't place limitations on your own abilities.
Well, maybe when the guns – well, not a win. If the guns ever got up to par, then maybe they might get shown off.
I think
no one wants to see that.
I want to see it. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I want to see it.
I'll say I'm not embarrassed by the two bald eagles. So I'm proud. I think it's a great look.
You know, chemistry.
Yep.
Chemistry for the team here. You and I. I actually think we showed well. And I'll say shout out to Kellen Rowe, Eric Hurtado. Both came down here and watched the game. Kellen had to take off at halftime because he had a plane to catch to Minnesota. Obviously, Eric Hurtado is still on the men, so he was able to stick around and watch the game with us. Good turnout. I will say this. When I got here today, got here about 1 o'clock, and there really wasn't anybody here yet. And so I was a little nervous, like, okay, I'm wondering what we're going to get here. About 1:30, people started to file in, and then by the time kickoff came around, we had a really good showing in the Power and Light District, a good, raucous fan base, and I think it's going to get bigger and bigger every single game as
Definitely.
We go forward. But I don't know about you, for a Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I thought a really good showing today by people in Kansas City.
Still really impressive for me, yeah. I wasn't quite sure because it also was against Tyler. Thailand, which you figured USA was going to win by a touchdown going into this thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't exactly the it's the World Cup opener. So you got that going for you, but it wasn't exactly the biggest, most enticing matchup to try and get people out here at, like you said, at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. I was really impressed by the turnout, and I agree. I think it's going to get better and better. I mean, Sunday I'm expecting, even though it's Father's Day, and maybe that'll take some people away. I think that'll actually bring some people as well. So hopefully that evens out, and I think it just being the weekend, it'll be great. Thursday, you feel like it's just Thursday's got a different vibe than a Tuesday, so you feel like maybe people will be more willing to. And then once it gets into the knockout rounds, it's just gonna take off. So I was very, very impressed, and there were a lot of like school age kids as well, middle school kids. And shout out to however they found themselves down here. Shout out to the parents that made that work, or the babysitters or whatnot, because it was a decent turnout in terms of that key to get demographic as well.
Well, and I will say this, I once was the urban hipster that that El Jefe is. I am now the suburban dad with you know, a couple kids who love the sport of soccer, and a daughter who's 6 years old who is really, this is the first time for her to really get to see the women's national team on full display, because I think the World Cup, it's at a different level.
Yep.
And we went out and got a U.S. women's national team jersey with the three stars on it the other day. She watched the E60 episode on Tobin Heath, which, if you haven't watched it, folks, I thought it was really good. And exactly what Tobin Heath actually was trying to hit on, in that she's always been an introvert. She has wanted to let her soccer do the talking, maybe the Kawhi Leonard of the women's national team. Not a lot of fanfare with her. She doesn't do a lot of extra media stuff, but all of a sudden she's decided in this World Cup to do it. And they asked her why, and it was the last time when that really powerful moment when the women's national team all wore jerseys with the name of an inspiring woman on the back, someone that they looked up to. One thing you and I can identify with as NBA fans, do you know who Tobin Heath picked?
I don't remember.
Doris Burke.
Nice.
Which I'm a huge
legend.
Fan of Doris Burke.
Absolute legend.
Terrific broadcaster, and I think she's, I wish she was actually doing color in the NBA Finals and not just the sideline stuff, because she's
can do it all, though. She does play-by-play, color, and sideline. She's fantastic.
She's terrific. Yep. And so I thought that was interesting, but Tobin Heath said, you know, I had to sit down and think about who my role model was, and I realized that I'm failing younger girls by not being more of being more out there for them, being more present for them to see me and do what I do. And so she stepped out of her comfort zone, and she's doing that. And I mean, if I could write a note to Tobin Heath, I would say I had my daughter sit down and watch that episode with me. I didn't know that was going to come up. And my daughter, word for word, looked at her and said, I'm just like her.
Wow.
I mean, those are the kind of goosebump moments you have. My daughter, I mean, the chances of her playing college soccer, let alone World Cup soccer, you know, whatever, that they are astronomically long. That's not the point, right? The point is my daughter gets to grow up playing the sport with people that she can identify as heroes and role models. So anyways, with that in mind, I thought, what better place for me to be on Father's Day than down here with my daughter and my son, by the way, to watch these games. So if you're an urban hipster like Carter, or you're a suburban dad like me, or somewhere in between, we can all come together on Sunday and have a fantastic time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a good Father's Day outing. I like that content as well. I think there's been some really great content heading into this Women's World Cup. Have you checked out the 23 stories that U.S. Women Twitter has been putting out?
Yeah.
Those are fantastic. Yeah. Great stories all around. Seeing the South African team come into the hotel singing and dancing, that was amazing. The whole story of the Jamaican women's national team.
They were singing songs off the bus on their way into the stadium the other day. I know it didn't turn out well for them in the game, but that was cool to see.
I mean, their story of they got disbanded, and Bob Marley's daughter picks it up and funds them, starts a foundation to fund them, and they become the first Caribbean team in the World Cup. Like, I mean, that's what the World Cup is all about. And you mentioned, you know, your daughter getting a role model through Tobin Heath. I think in these countries, the growth of the women's game is so important, because it's going to give little girls in Jamaica that extra, you know, they're going to have role models the same way that they might not have had. And I'm really just excited to see the growth worldwide. And yeah, Thailand took it on the chin today, 13-0, but they showed a heartbreaking image of a girl crying, a Thai girl crying in the crowd. But I got to think there's some Thai girls back home that got to see girls that look just like them living out their dream in the World Cup, and hopefully that pushes them forward as well. It's just wonderful stories.
Yeah, and they've got a couple more games. Maybe they can crank out some sort of result that gives them something to hold on to. You mentioned this, and Argentina, the scenes that they had. I mean, look, it's a 0-0 draw, and a lot of times, a country might say, well, what's the big deal there? But for them, that was the first point ever.
Huge deal for them.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I mean, the coach was in tears. The players were in tears. These are the moments. It's not just about the team that wins the World Cup. It's all these moments that happen along the way, and you want to be present for them. You want to see them. And so come down with us on Sunday. Now, let's get into this game today, Carter. USA 13, Thailand 0. Goals, I was trying to remember them off the top of my head.
Impossible.
And I couldn't do it. Alex Morgan had 5. That's a record. She might win the Golden Boot on those 5
it's
goals right
tough
there.
For people to get up to 5 throughout the whole tournament.
Rose Lavelle had a brace. Lindsay Horan had a goal. Sam Mewis had a goal. Megan Rapinoe had a goal. Mallory Pugh had one. And Carly Lloyd had one as well. So it was, I'm sorry, Mewis had a brace herself. So those were the 13 goals in this game. Now, one of the big talking points afterwards, did the U.S. run up the score? Is there anything wrong with them running up the score? I'll ask you that question first, Carter. Do you have any issue with just the fact that they kept pouring it on and never took their foot off the gas in this game?
I don't have an issue with that whatsoever, because goal differential is part of the tournament. And if it comes down to it, USA plays Sweden in the final game of the group. If they both win their first 2 games and they tie in that game, it's going to come down to goal difference for who wins the group. So as long as they keep goal differential as part of it, then no, I have zero problems with continuing to score.
You know, it's the World Cup. The idea of me telling a competitor at the World Cup to not try to score a goal if they have one in front of them, I can't imagine telling somebody to do that. And the only frame of reference I even have that's even close to that is coaching at the youth level, biddy soccer, and sometimes I would run into a situation where my kid's team was up 10-0 or something, and it starts to get a little ugly, and you wonder, okay, do we tell the kids to stop trying to score? And I always found that to be a very difficult conversation with the kids to have at that age. Hey, guys, stop trying to score. In some ways, is it more insulting to the other team if you just tell them to just stop playing? I don't know what the right answer is to that. So I'm with you. It's the World Cup.
And on your point, I mean, perfect example of that is Mallory Pugh coming in for her World Cup debut.
Right.
Like, I don't know if she scored the 12th or the 11th or which one she scored. Wonderful goal where she runs in behind the back line and rounds the keeper. But you could see on her face, that's her first World Cup goal. Like, it doesn't matter that it's against Thailand. It doesn't matter that it's the 10th, 11th, or 12th goal in a route. Like, that's what she's been dreaming her whole life about. And so,
yeah, how it was the 12th, 84th minute.
Yeah. How are you gonna stop her from coming in as a sub and wanting to score? Like, it's the World Cup.
And this is going to be Carly Lloyd's last World Cup. If she comes in and scores the last one in the 92nd minute. She's had World Cup glory at the highest level, but this is the last time she's going to get to participate in this most, I mean, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to tell her not to give it a shot. Now, the other question that was brought up, though, and it was people like Tony Miola, Taylor Twellman have been on Twitter talking about this, is they had zero problem with the goals. They thought maybe that the U.S. were a little over the top with celebrating. Once you got to that point, should you maybe mute the celebrations a little bit? Because they were still, I mean, they... And you can even see Jill Ellis was going crazy with excitement when they scored those late goals.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I remember the Germany 7-1 over Brazil, and after they got to like 4 or 5 goals, they just kind of, they had the one hug and trot back to the center line. You don't want to show up the opponent, I guess, is once you're scoring 10 or 12, they're... I think there is something to that where, they went over to the sideline and did some dances and stuff. And maybe that's when you can still keep trying to score, but rein in the celebrations a little bit.
The proof is going to be in the pudding in terms of how this thing plays out. My opinion on it is whatever gets them in the right mindset to win this thing. And maybe there's an element of leaning into being Goliath that I'm okay with. Look, when you're the United States and you're the favorite, nobody else in this competition is going to like you. And that's obviously a very different role than what the United States men's national team deals with when they go into a competition. But these women have won 3 World Cups. They're the favorites again going into this one. You're not there to make friends. And maybe there is something to, and I don't know, maybe they'll come out. I haven't seen the comments from them today. Maybe they'll come out and say, yeah, we were over the top of some of that. Or maybe you just go, you know what? We're here. We're not going to apologize for who we are, and you're going to have to come after us if you want to beat us, because that's the edge we're going to play with for 90 minutes every single game. And if that turns out to be this team's identity, I'm fine with that as long as they go win the thing.
It seems like it is their edge, and that they, and like you said, that could help them win the whole thing. I just kind of compare it to, you know, if a one seed's blown out of 16 in the tournament and they're up 30 and they keep their starters in and they're dunking with like 2 minutes left, people will look down on that, you know. And
that's true.
I kind of compare this as well. Thailand, I think they finished fourth in Asia, and that's how they got into this tournament. I just kind of compare it to that. Like, you don't want to see guys throwing lobs and alley-oops when you're up 30 at the end of a basketball game.
Well, karma can be rough, and there's going to be a lot of people that are rooting against this women's national team to maybe have their comeuppance in that regard. And so, for me, if you're the U.S., you might as well go ahead and you're playing with a target on your back. Just go ahead and play the part, you know, and we'll see what happens with the U.S. the rest of the way, because it is going to get a lot tougher. There are some real teams in this World Cup now that...
France looked good in that opener.
The Netherlands didn't look great today, but they're good.
Yep.
And, Australia's no joke. There are teams out there that are going to make it tough for the United States, so we'll see.
Sweden, that last game in the group should be a tough one.
Yeah, and that'll be on Thursday, by the way, the watch party on Sweden. Okay, real quick, before we take a break, we haven't talked U.S. men's national team at all, and those two
disheartening, to say the least.
I really was willing to take the first friendly and say, no big deal, it's a friendly. They were
different
trying
roster,
different things, different formation.
Guys that weren't going to make the Gold Cup roster.
Venezuela has me really worried. What do you think?
I think the thing that worried me the most was a stat of Venezuela's last away win, where they won 3-0, was like 2010 against Aruba or something like that. Like, this isn't a powerhouse. Solomon Rondon, fantastic player, and he was the best player on the pitch. But, I mean... what worried me the most is how much better Venezuela was. Like, it was 3-0, but it could have been more.
Well, and I'd like to sit here and say, well, no Christian Pulisic, no Tyler Adams, no Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore didn't come in until the second half.
They'll make a difference, sure.
Yes, but to me it's a massive indictment on the depth of the player pool right now for the men's national team. If you are missing those guys and you look that bad,
yep.
I mean, those guys, you should be able to field, you know, a roster that goes out there and competes against an okay Venezuela side.
Yep.
You know, we're not talking about Germany doing this to you, you know, or even Argentina. I'm worried. And I will say this too. Are we really looking at Tyler Adams playing right back while Will Trapp plays midfield for this team?
That's that whole right back as the auxiliary midfielder thing, you understand it, and it makes sense because it pushes the two midfielders up, almost dual number 10s when you have possession. But I'm with you. I'm like, is it worth taking Tyler Adams out of a position where he's playing so well?
One of the best leagues in the world.
Where he played so well in MLS, and now he's continued it in one of the best leagues in the world. Because what he does isn't only on the ball. Like, he's so good at closing down. He's so good the defensive aspect in midfield that you wonder putting him at right back. And I know Yedlin is out injured right this summer, but you feel like you have a guy that could slot right into right back already. So it's a wrinkle. It seems like a wrinkle in the system that he's focusing way too much on.
And to me, If you can't control the midfield, then all that right back stuff doesn't matter. And right now they were getting crushed in the midfield. To me, they were so you've got an answer there. And it just seems like they're outsmarting. We'll see. All right, we're out of time on this first segment because we got Roger Espinosa to join us. We'll talk more about the Women's World Cup. We'll talk about the U.S. Open Cup with Sporting Kansas City and the last result, that tough game against Toronto FC. We'll get Roger Espinosa's thoughts on all those things, plus an update on his health as we continue. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues from no other pub in the Power and Light District. We are in the wake of the United States Women's National Team watch party that we just had down here as the U.S. women put 13 on Thailand with a 13-0 win. And we are joined now here at No Other Pub by Roger Espinoza. Roger, how are you, man? Thanks for coming down and joining us.
I'm good. Thanks for having me here. It's always a great time here.
I'm going to have you turn your microphone as close to your mouth as you can there, since it's kind of loud in here. There we go.
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
now,
that's better. Look
Let's
at that.
Go.
Perfect. What did you think? Did you watch the game? What did you think today?
Yeah, it made me think of Honduras for a little bit there.
That's right. The youth, yeah. Honduras U-20s just took a pretty lopsided.
So I was like, oh, no, not at this stage. But, hey, you know, Thailand is one of their first times, I think. I don't know when if this is the first time in the World Cup. So, hey, they got a little taste for it, and I'm sure those players are going to get better. And for the U.S., you know, you got to respect them. You know, they take no game lightly, and that's how it should be.
Do you think this is kind of setting the tone as far as the U.S. women are concerned, coming in, putting 13 on the board? And what do you think about, is that running up the score maybe?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're a player like Alex Morgan, you want to score as many goals because you won that golden boot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can only just respect the U.S. for that game because, you know, they took that game very serious. And I'm sure a lot of teams out there saw that game, a lot of national teams, and now they're pretty sure a little scared because nobody wants to face the United States in any stage, and these girls, you know, are one of the top teams there, and I think they're the favorites to take it.
You know, we've been having this debate, and everybody on social media, Alexi Lalas, Taylor Twellman, Tony Miola, they've all been weighing in on this a little bit. I'm curious, as a player who's played at that level, if you're on the wrong side of a result like that, is it more insulting if the other team just starts passing the ball around and they stop trying to play, or if the other team does what the U.S. women did and just keep going and trying to score as many as they can?
Either way, I mean, to me, it doesn't matter. You obviously don't want to get scored. For me, if a team is going to beat me 12-0, I prefer them to keep the ball.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right.
We did play Spain in the World Cup in 2010. And, I mean, they were a very good team. They were obviously a possession-oriented team. And playing them, they love to keep the ball. I don't know if they could score more goals, but they kept the ball a lot. The game ended up being 2-0. But they were just as good as the U.S. team is right now. So it was 2-0, so we left there.
He took the after that performance.
That's better than 13,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What about the other side of this argument that people are talking about right now, which is, okay, yeah, goal difference matters in this World Cup. So, yeah, keep scoring. But once you have 8 or 9 or 10, we still saw some pretty big celebrations from the U.S. women's national team. Do you take any issue with that at all, or what do you think of that?
I mean, you're in a World Cup. How many times do you get to go to a World Cup?
Right.
I'm sure some of those girls, it's the first time being there and the first time scoring a goal. So you're going to celebrate. It's a dream as a child. So, I mean, as long as they don't do it in a manner that it makes fun of the other team. If it's between your teammates and
right.
your people and your country, it's great. But the moment you start disrespecting the other opponent, that's when it becomes something that you don't want to see.
Yeah, I mean, I've never sniff a World Cup in my entire life.
Yeah.
I don't know if I scored 5 goals in a World Cup, I'd still probably be going out of my mind with, you know, being excited. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And I think those girls deserve to celebrate. And hey, it was 13 goals. And next time they play, I guarantee you it won't be like that. I think Thailand will learn from that. And they'll get better from that. And they got that little taste of what it is to be in a World Cup.
We're visiting with Roger Espinoza. We're here at No Other Pub, where we had the big World Cup watch party for this game. And if you didn't make it down here on today, we're recording this show, whatever day you're listening to it. If you missed it on Tuesday, come down on Sunday. It's Father's Day. It was a great time today.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bigger crowd on Sunday because people aren't dealing with work and all of that. It's Father's Day. I'm a dad. I'm going to bring my son and my daughter down here. They're really excited about it. If you're a dad, bring your kids down. If you have a dad, bring your dad down. It's going to be a lot of fun at 11 o'clock on Sunday when the U.S. women's national team takes on Chile. So just come down because it's a party. It was a great time here today. And Roger, I know you know the women's game really well. For specific reasons, I'm curious what your thoughts are on the way it's progressed when you watch NWSL, when you see maybe it wasn't a display today that the rest of the world is getting so much better at soccer because the women went out, the U.S. women went out and won 13-0. But as they get deeper into this tournament, they're going to come up against some really good teams. What do you think about the way the women's game has progressed, and how much harder is it going to be for the U.S. once they start playing some of these other really good teams?
You know, now technology, it's all over the world. Male and females can see the game from different perspective, especially U.S. being one of the countries that is involved the most. But like you said, there's countries like France now, there's Spain. Brazil looked okay, even though Marta was saying it was the worst team she ever been. England. And yep. You see Italy being Australia. Yeah. So these are teams now that are, you know, evolving in the game. And the reason is being because now teams like the Serie A, La Liga, English Premier League, League One, and all those teams are now getting their own teams, their own academies for women's, and that's making the game even bigger. Now we see it in MLS, teams now getting involved not only with USL but with professional women's soccer, and that's just going to grow the game even more, and that is great. This is probably one of the World Cups that it's been out there on social media the most, and now people are watching these games, yep. And it's becoming more and more and more important. And that's great to see for the sport all over the world. I think soccer unites people. It's the world's language, and it's great. It's great to see that.
Did you see Argentina got their first point? It was a 0-0, and they celebrated like, yeah. It's their first ever point in the World Cup, and they celebrated like they won the whole thing.
I didn't get to watch the game, but, the games I don't get to watch, I stay involved in it. A lot of the guys at the facilities, too, a lot of the games are on, and we're watching some of those games, and like I said, it's the first time some of these teams never been there, and getting a point, just getting stage of that opportunity. I bet you if Honduras, if we would have, when we score a goal, we went crazy. You know, we went to only a few World Cups, and when we went to the World Cup in Brazil, we didn't score any goals in South Africa. And we went to Brazil and we scored a goal. And I'm not ashamed to say that. It's just it's very difficult to do that.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do that. And when you get the opportunity, you have to celebrate it because you don't know when the next opportunity will come. We'll see guys like Netherlands miss the World Cup for men's, and that's a powerhouse for soccer.
Italy.
Yep.
Yeah, Italy. As
USA.
Chile. There all those teams miss the World Cup.
So, when you see that, it's great to see the game because you don't know when's the next time you're going to be there.
I thought it stood out to me because you said Thailand will probably learn from this. The previous worst defeat was Argentina lost 11-0 to Germany, I think it was. They come in, and in their first game, they get a 0-0, and they're celebrating. Like, that's growth for the game in Argentina, and you could see what it meant to that team. I thought that was really, really cool.
And some of those South American countries, we've always known that the passion for soccer is there, but the women weren't really allowed in. Marta wasn't allowed to play. She had to sneak off to play at one point in time, and now all of a sudden, in soccer mad countries like that, where all of a sudden they're getting to play, it's a really powerful thing. And you mentioned Australia falling to Italy. I had Australia as one of my dark horse teams to make a run. I got to see them in Kansas City last year, and with Sam Kerr, and they got all kinds of NWSL players on that team. And I still think they can make it, through the knockout stages. But that was a stunning result, wasn't it? At least for me, it was. I was really surprised to see that.
Yeah, and the only reason, part of it, my scouting report on Italy wasn't as, I've not seen them play much as you say. We've seen Australia play in this side of the world. I was in Australia last their summer, which was in the winter here, and you can see that they were hyping up for the World Cup, and having one of the best players in the world, to me, in my opinion, like you're saying, Sam Kerr, it's like the Team Cahill of their team.
Yeah.
And they... it has a smell for the goal, and I thought they were gonna definitely win that game.
It was cool, the turnout today on a Tuesday in Kansas City here at the watch party. What do you think of the growth of soccer in Kansas City and in relation to KC trying to get that 2026 bid, which of course we're still really working forward to?
I'm gonna say, from the Wizards day to now, the game has definitely changed, and that has to do a lot with the club process that was started everything, and now the pro to the professional level with the Wizards changing names, putting their new stadium, all that became big. All that became almost in a more professional setup and a more serious setup, and soccer became what it is now. You know, from us winning games, we definitely have to win. And that created an environment, a culture here, having hometown kids like Seth and Beasler. So that itself makes kids think like, hey, if they did it, why not me? And same, there's, Mandy Ladish, who's a professional soccer player, women's, for Utah Royals, who came out of this place. Same with
Sydney Miramontes.
Sydney, yeah, who's a great friend of mine. And so it's Shay Groom, who came out of this area. And that already makes kids think that. And they're a big example of why soccer is growing here. And, it's no doubt to me that they will most likely get a bid for the World Cup. And and that is one of the reasons why soccer is going here. It goes from our ownership, from you guys being part of the game and reaching the game out. And I think it goes from media to players and everybody being involved in it. And it's great to see that.
Well, I will tell you this. We had the KC 2026 World Cup Bid Committee here today in the Power and Light, and they will be here again on Sunday. And I can't stress this enough to anybody, if you're listening to this podcast or this show as it airs on Sports Radio 810, we have a chance to make another case for ourselves for this World Cup process with every one of these Women's World Cup games by coming to these watch parties. You can come down. We have a petition down here. You have to make sure that you stop by the tent and sign the petition, because the more signatures we get on that, we get to turn that into FIFA and say, look at all the people that care about it in this city. And I can tell you this much, and this is not a lie. I talked to the people from Fox today. They are plugged into just a handful of watch parties around the country, and they want the biggest crowds, the shots that look the best, that they can show on national television when the women are on Fox. And we had the best turnout of any of those watch parties in the country here today. But we need bigger turnouts even on the games coming up. We can fit a lot more people in here. And the more we do things like that, that every time we do that, that just plants a little seed in somebody's, I mean, if you're in FIFA and you're in the World, Cup selection, let's be honest, you probably haven't heard of Kansas City. You probably don't know much about Kansas City. You think of the United States, you think of L.A., you think of New York. But every time you see something like this on national television, it plants that seed a little bit, and it makes you take Kansas City seriously as a host site. So both of those things make this a very important process for us. So make sure you come down here on Sunday, 11 o'clock for the next World Cup watch party. And then on Thursday, 2 o'clock next week, that's going to be the last game of the group stages. And then, of course, hopefully through the knockout stages as well. We'll take a break. Roger, can you stick with us to talk a little Sporting Kansas City one more segment before you go?
Absolutely.
Okay, then Roger Espinoza is with us here at No Other Pub. We are talking Sporting Kansas City. We're talking U.S. men's and women's national team on the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB and on the podcast wherever you get it. Back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and of course, if you're listening on the podcast, whether it's on the 810 WHB app, online at 810WHB.com, or Spotify, iTunes. If you ask Alexa, she will play the podcast for you. However you're getting your podcast, we appreciate you listening. And if you were down here for the World Cup watch party today, we appreciate you being here, and we hope to see you on Sunday. We've got Roger Espinoza here. Let's actually talk a little SKC now, Roger. And the first question I'm sure everybody asks you every time they see you now, and so we'll just go ahead and ask it now. How's the knee coming along? How's your progress going as you work your way back from injury right now?
It's a lot better now. I don't have a brace. I'm able to walk normal. And I'm able to now, I started just jogging, lightly jogging. And when you start doing that, your body starts adjusting right away on your knee. And it only goes to a lot easier from there, and the recovery is a lot faster.
In one of the games, I saw you and a bunch of guys, that were out for injury, just in and around the building, and it seemed like the guys that were out would be a formidable MLS team that would do really, really well, that were out on that match day. Have you ever seen an injury crisis like you guys have had at the beginning of this season?
No, not. I've not seen that at all. And we rarely seen a few teams, but it does happen in teams, you know. In terms of a team that I've been, no, but I've seen a few teams that had injuries that their key players were down. And that made it very difficult. I mean, we've seen it before, even with Tottenham, with one player going down, and it makes it very difficult for them. So, yeah, but it's very rare.
Yeah, on the back of that, I'm just curious, you know, how can you keep the mood up in a team when you're experiencing such a downturn in injuries, although you guys are starting to get people back, it seems, recently. But how can you keep the mood up on a team when you have such a – Peter Vermees called it the worst that he's had here at Sporting Kansas City.
You know, we are at the facilities all day pretty much here. We have a great facility, and, you know, we see the guys day in, day out. And, you know, we – definitely know that, you know, hey, a lot of this stuff is, yeah, has to do with injuries, but we're playing pretty well. And the other part of being injured is we're getting a little bit unlucky. And it's frustrating to see, but, you know, I always tell people, you know, hey, we're playing pretty well, you know, and I'm not so worried about that. And, you know, I feel bad for the fans because they come and watch the games on the weekends when we're at home and losing the game, and we're trying to make them whole week happy, and it gets difficult when we lose at home. But I believe in the near future, great things will happen with us.
You know, soccer is such an interesting sport for so many reasons, and one of them to me is that if I come to you with a result before the game, a lot of times it could be a result that you'd say, you know what, that's pretty good. But depending on how the game plays out, you can feel the exact opposite when you walk away. And obviously I'm talking about this last game against Toronto, where I think maybe had we gone before the game and said, you're missing four guys with international duty, you've had this heavy workload of games, you got all these other guys that are injured, you get a 2-2 draw in Toronto, you know what? You take a point away from home. But when you're up 2-1 in stoppage time at the very end of the game, and then they get that goal, it almost feels like a loss when you walk off the field. I know Benny Failhaber was really, you know, openly, you know, hey, this isn't good enough. Peter Vermees said this isn't good enough, and they were very upset after the game. When you get a few days away from it, are you able to say, hey, you know what, we still got a draw out of this, and it's not so bad? Or how does it feel maybe a few days later when you have a little more perspective instead of that right in the moment when you get that gut punch?
It still feels like a loss a little bit, just because of the expectations that we have set up over the years here at Sporting. You know, we've been spoiled to win a lot of games and win some championships along the way. And, you know, our nature here is that, hey, we know we have the team. And I keep saying it all the time, you know. It's not like we're showing up to away games and say, hey, we're hopeless. We have no idea. We have the tactical part. Mm-hmm. You know, let's turn Houston, for example.
Right.
In Houston, I thought we were the better team.
Yeah.
And tactically, we were very sound. And it was just a good game for us. I think we're missing... No, it involves a lot of things, but a little bit of the mental part and being a little lucky at times. And, you know, that hasn't worked out on our way, but I feel like it's going to come through. But knowing that tactically we're good and later on is definitely going to help us. You know, we can go on video. I'm a lot of teams around the league, and they show up to places, and tactically they're not there, and they know they're probably going to lose the game. You know, us, we showed in every game knowing that, hey, we have a big chance to win this game, and we're going to go for it, even if we end up losing sometimes. We know we can win it.
Yeah, maybe that is what makes those last two games hurt so bad is the fact that you feel like we should have won that game. And I started thinking about it because it felt like, man, it's been a bunch of times this year where it's been a late goal that's either taken a win away from us, or, you know, obviously the LAFC game, it took a draw away. But it's been three times, really, that the team has given up a goal within the last 10 minutes. And you guys have also had three games where you've taken a goal in the last 10 minutes to get a result. So I don't know if that stuff evens out or not. Do you think that's an issue? Do you think that the late game situation is something that needs to be cleaned up? Or is it just kind of one of those things where it's been catching a couple bad breaks over the last, you know, whatever, month or so?
A little bit of both,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, for me, I don't want to make any excuses, but we definitely need to clean that part. It has happened years before, and we have been able to clean it. It hasn't happened for that long, but it has happened in years prior, and I've been part of those teams. And except for a month, it's happened. Team scoring us in the last 10, 15 minutes has been mental breakdowns. We are in a league that happens to the majority of the teams. It's such an even league, and it's so competitive that a lot of teams are fighting for points. Usually happens to us at the end of the year, though.
Yeah.
This is happening a little bit at the beginning and the middle of the year. So hopefully we can now, this is happening now early on, and we can come later in the season, and all that can be behind us.
Now you guys have an Open Cup game. Go away from league play, and you got the Gold Cup break this weekend. What is kind of the mindset of the team the past couple of days as you prepare for this Open Cup game? Is it something along the lines of like, hey, if we can play well in this Open Cup game, and maybe that will continue a little bit of momentum, or you know, what is the mindset?
It's exactly, that is the mindset. Hey, every game we play, it doesn't matter if it's a friendly or not, our goal is to win the game. That's the only way you can prepare a team, and especially now this is in another competition that the ownership, the fans, I believe, and the players take very serious. It's a tournament we want to win, a tournament that we believe we can win. We have done it in the past, and why not again? It's just another game that we need to try to go and win. And we've been staying focused for every game. Doesn't matter if he's league play or if it's Open Cup, and now it comes to Open Cup, and it's just another game that, hey, we know we have to go out there and try to win, and because those are the expectations of this club.
With the regional nature that they have, the format and the cup now, this is like the third time in 4 years you guys have played Minnesota United.
Every year, it seems.
Yeah, it's like every year it's Minnesota United, it's Houston. Do you like that as a player, or would you rather have some more variety in the teams you get to play against in this competition?
Definitely a little more variety. I'm sure Minnesota too. Same way, you know, Sporting again, or same with Houston. You get to go there. I think one time we won it. We had to go to Houston, and Houston beat us last year, and they won it too.
Yep.
So it's kind of like the game that sets the tone. I don't think, and it goes by regions too. And I think there's a few teams closer to us than Minnesota, but hey, now it's what it is, and now we got to go out there and play. But I definitely think they should mix it a little bit, because people too want to see other teams.
Yeah, I've heard some ideas being thrown around that maybe when the MLS teams come in, like Germany, they send MLS teams to the lower league, USL away games, so maybe USL get a host to MLS team. What do you think about that possibility?
It's great. It's great. It gives an opportunity to those teams too to kind of, let's say, get to meet up against the best, which is the first professional league and second division. Let's say. But it is great for the fans, because a lot of those teams don't have a MLS team on their place, so they get to see it too.
Yeah, I mean, I always wonder that as a player, because I think you're right. Like, as a fan, I would love to see Sporting Kansas City play a team I never get to see him play. You know, whether it's Wichita FC or somebody, you know, a team, you know, what's the Austin team in the USL?
Austin Bold or Charleston Battery or something like that.
But I'm not the one playing in it. And I always wonder, like, if you're a player and you're playing an MLS schedule and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you got to go play a lower division team. You know, this is going to be the biggest game for the other guy, that they, like when you guys played down in Panama, that's the biggest game they're going to play maybe in the history of their franchise. As a player, what is that like?
I mean, you know that you're going to play, that it's going to be a dogfight pretty much.
Yeah.
Being the MLS, we got to go to Minnesota when they were in the second division too. So we've been playing Minnesota a lot.
Yeah.
And we actually ended up going to, if I'm not mistaken, the penalty kicks one time. And right before they came to MLS again, we got to go there. And I think Diego might have scored the winning goal in overtime.
Yep. Rubio.
Diego Rubio. So, yeah. I've been playing Minnesota for the past 8-9 years. And you know that it's not easy, because that's their game. It's, even in preseason, we get to see when we play Phoenix Rising. You know, they're a team that brings it. And that's because they play with the chip on their shoulder. They believe that they can be in the MLS, and they want to prove to professional team that they can play at that level. So they're playing also their career, and they want to show it that they want to be. And we also got in players from those teams.
I'm curious because you have the FA Cup background, and of course that's kind of what we would compare the Open Cup to here in the U.S. Is there anything that you saw on your FA Cup journey that maybe you think we could take here in the U.S. and improve on the Open Cup?
I mean, yeah, it's the same thing. You get to go play the lower division teams at the very beginning. The only thing over there is that if you tie that game, you get to go away.
You get another game on top of it. Yeah,
because it puts pressure on the home team. So it creates the game more interesting because if you tie over there, hey, guess what? You're going to penalty kicks. It's still a little bit disadvantaged for the away team. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Open Cup is getting to that point. It's not as, we have as many professional teams in the league as we do now, and it's going to improve, I'm pretty sure. And it's going to, and I like how U.S. kind of comes with their own ideas. And it's getting to that point, and hopefully it gets better because we also have to figure out a team that goes away every time, too. And it makes it difficult. Prior years, we've been away back-to-back games. So that's another way you have to figure it out. I agree in the fact that it'll be great to play lower teams.
Yeah. It's cool to open it up. Kind of seems like the FA Cup is, like, truly open, random draw.
Yeah, that's I always love seeing the Sharks versus the Minnows over in England and seeing, if you see Manchester United playing on the field at Ipswich Town or something like that, it makes me want to watch the thing. And sometimes they turn into blowouts, but other times you get to see that Cinderella story. It is one of the things to me that makes the sport of soccer unique. You don't get to see that in the other American sports.
You see that a lot over there. Until you get to a lot of teams make it to the quarterfinals. Every year there's a couple teams. It hasn't happened a lot in the United States because those teams you don't get to go over there a lot of the time. So it'll be great now to start right at the beginning and see how many MLS teams start losing.
Well, I hope this ESPN Plus thing is good in terms of getting more TV coverage or even if it's online content, getting those games on television, getting people the ability to watch the games hopefully helps grow it as well. And then we said weekend off for Sporting Kansas City. And then the road trip continues after that here in a couple of weeks. You guys get any time off next weekend or anything like that? Is it back to the grind? What's it like for the guys here with this little mini break during the Gold Cup?
Well, I think it all depends on how tomorrow goes.
Let's go Sporting then, right?
But we will have a game back again right on Wednesday again, right? It'll be Open Cup again.
Oh, that's right. When you guys win, there's the second round,
so it all
the following
depends
week.
On that.
Yeah.
But, hey, we just want to win right now. We want to get our wins. And, I've already had enough of a break. I'm already tired
doing
the same thing every day. I want to be in the field with the guys and, enjoying those moments.
I haven't been through the same situation as you, but I've been through the ACL meniscus rehab. I had my own thoughts on this, but what's the most tedious part of rehab? What's the one thing when you're done with rehab, you'll be just so glad you don't have to do it anymore?
Being there at 7 in the morning every day and leaving there at 3 p.m.
That's a lot of rehab, man.
Yeah, you have to go. You do the part of the treatment early in the morning. Then you go do some exercises, some mobility stuff, get the knee going. Then you got to go have breakfast, go back to mobility exercise and go on the bike. Then you got to go watch practice, be there with your teammates, see what the tactical part will be. Then you get to go back and finish your part. And then after lunch, you do treatment. And if you want to do the other stuff we have in the facility, like the hyperbaric, see the physios, go in the cold tub, go in the cryo, it's another part of the day that you have to go through. And you have to do it, especially if you're injured, because you just want to get back. And that stuff does help.
7 a.m., That's almost for you, as I have to go to work.
Yeah, for you, that's a reprieve. For me, that's, no thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Roger, we really appreciate the time, man. We're glad that your recovery's starting to progress. We can't wait to see you back out on the field, and hopefully we get to talk to you again real soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
All right, that is Roger Espinoza. Nice enough for him to sit down and talk with us a little Women's World Cup, a little U.S. soccer, a little U.S. Open Cup, all that for you right here from No Other Pub. Again, as we sign off today, I'll remind you, we're going to have these watch parties for the Women's World Cup games, every single one of them. The next one is on Sunday at 11 o'clock. You want to get here early, though, because the crowd's going to be bigger than it was today. We had a little bit of a late-arriving crowd today, too, which I understand because it's a weekday. But on Sunday, you're going to want to get here well before 11 o'clock so you can make sure you get your spot in the living room. It's going to be a party. So come on down here, celebrate Father's Day with us watching the Women's World Cup. That's going to do it for us, for Carter Augustine and for Roger Espinoza. This is Nate Buchady saying thanks for listening to the Sporting Kansas City Show, and we'll see you next week.